Welcome to the Midnight Founders Podcast, a national podcast focused on entrepreneurship. We are your hosts, AJ Rounds from Rev Road and Jake McCarg from CB Vault.
Here at the Midnight Founders Podcast, we focus on telling the behind-the-scenes stories of what makes a successful entrepreneur.
We're excited to be here on another episode of the Midnight Founders Podcast. Today, we're in studio here with Jimmy Rex, and super excited to have you here, Jimmy. Today's episode is probably more focused on entrepreneurship and real estate, because Jimmy Rex is the real estate master here in the local area. Just to give a brief bio, Jimmy Rex, he runs a team, a brokerage, the Rex Real Estate team, and he's a founder of the Jimmy Rex Show, so a podcaster, a fellow podcaster, which is really cool. He's on the board of directors, you know, at Entrada, and is doing a lot of cool things, but the most recent thing he's doing is something really cool to help men's mental health called We Are They. And I'm sure we're going to talk about that more on the podcast, Jimmy. So welcome to the show.
Good to have you here. No, thanks for having me, guys. It's a pleasure.
This is fantastic. So we start the show typically out, Jimmy, with a 30-second, 60-second elevator pitch of what are you doing right now and what's getting you excited?
Yeah. You know, I'm one of the rare people that found two careers in his life where it just plays to all of the things I love to do in my natural talent. So real estate was one of those, right? My job was to talk to as many people as possible and connect and throw events. We were just talking before the podcast. I do, you know, a giant fireworks show every year where we'll have, I mean, we had over 10,000 people the last few years come to this party. And just last Saturday, we did an Easter egg hunt. I dropped.
Running from the cops is included in that fireworks episode,
right? Every year, a new adventure. It was funny. One year, we went back to the park where we used to do the fireworks show every year. And there's this giant signs everywhere, no fireworks, right? in the park or whatever. And so I went to the neighbor across the street and I said, hey, if I give you $100, can I just use your giant driveway to light a bunch of fireworks? And he's like, sure. And so we lit them all over his front driveway, and the cops showed up, but they couldn't do anything because it was private. And
so, you're like doing it right in front of the no fireworks sign.
Literally. Right? No. Yeah. So I've been doing that real estate for 17 years. I still have a real estate team that runs now. And then about 2.5 years ago, I started my men's coaching group, which is called We Are The They. And which really is, as much as anything, it's about helping men connect on a deeper level and providing a space for community to grow.
And that's got you really excited these days because you're really passionate about that space. You're taking a lot of groups to really cool trips and helping them really connect. Is that right?
Yeah, so it's a really, you know, you start to, and this is one of the things I was actually talking about this on one of my coaching calls yesterday with my group is, people that get stressed in their job at work is because they're not working in their natural talents. When you're working your natural talents, it feels like passion. But when you're not, it feels like stress. And so I just, you know, got very clear at, hey, what do you do the best? What am I naturally very good at? And it's throwing events, it's getting people together, it's connecting people and all those different things. And so a lot of what I do now is, yeah, we throw these really cool events. So I took 70 guys to Run with the Bulls last year in Spain. I'm taking 25 guys to Africa next week. You know, we get together once a quarter with each group of 50 men, and we get together, and it's very spiritual. It's a very taxing physically, mentally, emotionally, but then also very bonding, connecting, and fun. So like the last one we just did, I brought in Jake Paul's boxing trainer, BJ Flores, and you know, some of the guys had never been punched in the face before. And so we sparred and did some fun stuff. And then, you know, we did four-wheelers and we went and shot pheasants. But we also brought in, you know, some breath work and cacao and yoga. And we did a hike that was, you know, very difficult and just did a lot of things that you do all that in 2.5 days. You know, these guys build these friendships that, because most people don't do very exciting things most of the time. Their lives just kind of happen to them. And so when you start to proactively build experiences with other people, you just connect much quicker and you have a deeper connection for a long time.
And these are guys that have never met each other prior to these events. They just show up and they get to know each other. And
for the most part, yeah. So the first, in fact, it's kind of funny. It's been really difficult to explain what we do with my group. So I made a documentary. So if you go to my Instagram profile, Mr. Jimmy Rex, in the links, I put it's wattvid.com, and you can see it's an hour, 15 minutes of one of these events, exactly how it goes. But yeah, these guys, you know, well, they get to, it's a 2.5 year program they sign up for, my leadership group. And so when they get to the first event, they've never met. And very quickly, they go very deep with the connecting. I do a lot of exercises that help them to build that friendship. And then over the course of the 2.5 years, like I said, they're getting together once every 3 months. And so the connection goes deeper each time to the point where, you know, my first group is just finishing. They're coming up on 2.5 years. And they're all best friends now. You know, some of these guys, it's been so fun. Like, there's literally something happening every single night where these guys are getting together with their families. And yesterday, one of the guys' kids had a game in St. George, and a bunch of the St. George guys got together and went to watch his kid play baseball. Just stuff like that. It's literally happening every day. And so, yeah, so they didn't know each other, but they end up becoming best friends.
That's cool.
What I know there's a deeper meaning for we are the they. Can you explain that?
Yeah. So, you know, it was interesting when I was selling real estate. I love real estate. It was so good to me, and it's always been so good to me. And, you know, you guys have been amazing supporters. You're my go-to property management company here in Utah. Don't mind saying that.
Shout out to Key Renter Pro. Yeah,
just referred you to someone yesterday. and you know, the thing about real estate is there's a lot of time where, like, everything else I did when I was doing real estate added to real estate because I was networking, I was meeting new people. And so I tried a lot of different things. And, you know, I got into coaching a little bit. I wrote a book. I started, you know, building my Instagram and my, you know, influencer stuff, and started speaking a lot. And I had a lot of people would ask me, they're like, dude, like, we want you to, you know, coach me or whatever else. And I didn't think I was ever going to go into coaching because, frankly, you just make a lot less money coaching than I did in real estate.
And actually selling them.
One of the top properties. Agents in the country, you know, and so I was able to make several, just a lot of money doing it. But so I never was going to go the route of coaching. And then about 4.5 years ago, I sold the most expensive home ever in Utah. It was $32.5 million. And
where was that at?
It's basically a mountain range up in Heber City.
Okay.
Just past Heber.
Okay.
Yeah, like Oakley area. And, or Camas, I guess I should say. But when that happened, honestly, I made 7 figures in 20 minutes, and it wasn't like nothing changed. Like, it wasn't, you know, you get to this peak and you think, you know, you're going to just feel like, oh, I finally am accomplished. But honestly, it wasn't. What happened was the opposite. I was like, you need to do something more impactful now. And I'd been working with a group, a couple different groups, going undercover for, you know, 7-8 years, had a chance to go on several ops to help rescue kids that were being sex trafficked. And on one particular op,
that through OUR?
Through them and then other organizations
okay.
as well.
Okay.
Child Liberation Foundation, a couple others. But
very cool.
Yeah, this particular one was with OUR. And when we were down there, we did, you know, the takedown, and we took down some really evil dudes. And in the car ride home from the airport, I was in my truck, and my girlfriend at the time, she'd picked me up, and I'm telling her about it, and I'm super stoked on this because, you know, we just did this takedown. I'm telling her all the details, and it was a pretty scary one. It was probably the most dangerous of all of them we ever did. And she pulls over, she kind of surprised me. She says, hey, I don't want you to do this anymore. I was like, what are you talking about? Did you not just hear what I just said? We rescued these kids, this whole thing. She goes, oh, I know, but like, it's a bad environment. It's dangerous. And I said, well, this is going to be part of my life's mission now. And, you know, she says, well, why can't they just go do it? And without even thinking, I said, there is no they. We are the they. And when I said that, I was like, oh, damn.
That's it.
That's good.
That's the mantra.
Be my life motto. And so from that day forward, I got it tattooed on my arm. We are the they. And so when I started my coaching program, you know, it was just the natural, obvious choice of what to call this. And for me, that really means like we don't wait for other people to do something. If we see something that needs to be fixed, we see something that needs to change, we step up and try to do something about it.
So cool. Well, Jimmy, let's take 2 steps back. Let's talk a little bit about your real estate career. I mean, you've sold over 5,000 doors. You own currently 60 doors yourself right now. How did you get started in that? I mean, I've heard a few podcasts you've been on, and you started in meat door-to-door sales and some other things, but run us through that journey.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. When you're a kid, you know, you want to be successful when you're older. You want to have money, right?
Sure.
You want to be rich, but you don't know. You don't know how that's going to work. You don't really know how money works or anything like that. And so I remember as a kid, too, my parents were always fighting financially. Like, most of their fights were over. I remember sitting at the bottom of the stairs, and I could hear them fighting about money. And so from a very young age, you know, I was determined that I wanted to, you know, create wealth. And I got home from an LDS mission, and all I wanted to do originally was to be able to talk to people because I loved that. And so I wanted to be like a server, like a waiter. Nobody.
So you were one of the missionaries that loved tracting and going out and meeting people?
Yeah, I was right? Pretty good at it. Thankfully, right? I okay. did. I was fine talking. In our mission, it was we'd knock doors all day, and you would give minimum 50 discussions a week. So, I mean, you're literally teaching all day, yeah. And it was pretty easy to get in the doors, and I was in Mexico.
Awesome.
And so it's funny because I got home, and nobody would hire me because I wouldn't work Sundays. And so I couldn't get a job. And so eventually I started answering, you know, sales jobs, and I met this guy. He's talking about, you know, selling meat door to door. And It was interesting though, because my first day out on the doors, I made about $300 profit, and I was like, oh my gosh, my worst case scenario in life now is I can sell meat door to door and make $150,000 a year.
That would be the baseline. That's
yeah.
The lowest
and it was like this totally liberating moment because I realized I had a skill that I was the asset at that point, and I would always have money on some level. I could always go sell. And so from there, I kind of just started playing with different ideas, and I was always intrigued by real estate, more on the investing side, to be honest. I knew, you know, I'd read Rich Dad Poor Dad, and I knew that, you know, real estate created wealth. And so I got into it, honestly, just to do my own deals at first, but I didn't really have anything to do. I was going to go to BYU. I just got my associates at UVU, and here's how smart I was. I needed a mentor because I literally went to sign up for classes at BYU like the day the semester started. That's what I did at UVU always. And when I got there, they're like, well, have you applied? Have you been accepted? I'm like, well, that's why I'm here. They're like, sir, that's not really how it works. Like, we're a real university.
Before you show up.
And I thought they were the idiots. I'm like, no, that's what I'm doing right now. And they're like, well, you can start in October, but that was like 6 months away. So I was like, well, I guess I go do real estate. And so that's how I got into real estate. And it was funny, my first 6 months honestly didn't go that well. This was pre like having the internet on your phone. And so I was traveling a lot, and I'd have to find like an internet cafe to like print off something, get it over to, I mean, it was a mess, right? Like trying to check your email and stuff. And so I just wasn't very good. My first 6 months, I think I sold 3 houses. And then I found a real estate mentor. I just got lucky. I ended up getting invited to this seminar that was Mike Ferry, who's the GOAT. He's the best real estate instructor for agents of all time. And
is he still doing it? Is he still?
He is. Yeah, oh, he's cool. He's still going. And I could probably give his trainings word for word at this point. You know, he hasn't changed in 25 years, but good for him because it works. But it's really hard, and it's basically just grind the phones. You know, he had some principles. He was like, real estate's easy. You learn what to say. You learn how to say it, and then you say it all day. That was it. That was pretty much the whole thing. And it's not wrong. And so I got, you know, I signed up for that. And my next 6 months, I sold almost 60 houses just wow. by myself. You know, the next year with one assistant, I sold 98 homes. This was in 2007. So this was before there was teams and stuff. And I was one of the two finalists for Salesperson of the Year on the Salt Lake Board of Realtors. And it was just on from there and, you know, just took off.
And you loved it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a grind, but I did love it, you know. And it got hard right after that is when the market collapsed. I mean, 2008, 2009, 2010 were, I mean, just a mess, you know. And I wouldn't want to do that again. But yeah, I was working my hardest. I was the number one agent in our office, and I was telling my assistant to hold his check multiple times, you know, like that's not going to clear till this house sells. And so it was hard, man. Yeah, it was really hard. But you know, you get through that little gauntlet. And then I started working a lot with investors. And that's what I, you know, appreciate about people like you is you kind of make that easy for me too. But I, before anybody else, like the end of 2011, when the market was at its bottom, we were just crushing selling investors. I knew the, you know, the affordability index was so off. I mean, you could buy homes. We had this deal in Scottsdale with, we could get HUD homes 10% below what they were asking from HUD. And they were already 40, 50% below the, you know, where they should have been. And so we were picking up, I mean, I sold one of my closest buddies a house in Scottsdale. It was like 2,800 square feet with a pool for 120 grand to give you an idea.
Wow.
I mean, it was that whack back then. It was crazy in 2011. And so we were selling houses like crazy to investors, really took over that market. I got in really good with all of the REO agents here in Utah and just started working with a bunch of investors. And so I partnered up a couple years ago with Tyler Bennett. And he is the one who I turned my real estate team over to. So he kind of runs the day-to-day now. I kind of help the networking and the events and all that now. But he's the one that really runs it now. And he's sold himself 4,000 homes to investors. So between us, we've sold almost 7,000 houses to clients and investors. And, you know, and between what my team has done. And so, yeah, it's really nice now. We have a different strategy than other people. We sit down with every client. We do a strategy session and we say, look, and we just, Tyler's a numbers guy. So he breaks down everything and we just show him, if you want to get wealthy in real estate, it's going to be boring as hell. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to buy homes that are easy to rent. This is going to be hands off. This is how you do it. And it works. And so for the last 8, 9 years, we've sold thousands and thousands of homes to investors, and every single one of them has worked has been good because we know what we're doing. We learned in the downturn what not to do. And it was funny because with this last, you know, real estate cycle, when all the homes were booming, you know, people start buying these crazy deals. I'm like, oh, I've seen this movie before. I know how it ends. And we just stayed in our course. We just, you know, kept doing our thing. And so it's been really cool because we have a lot of people that we've, you know, have been very successful investing that trust us complicitly.
So what you're doing then is you're essentially taking the opportunity of when the market goes down, you're really buying all that you can with a group of investors. And then when it goes back up, you're just holding and saying, let's wait till it goes back down.
We sold each one once at a time. So we would sit down with each investor and like certain guys would buy eight and certain ones would buy one, you know, but each one was an individual single family home. That's our strategy.
Residential, all residential.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, it's not that we quit buying when the market changed, but we switched markets. So when Utah, the affordability just became unsustainable.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, cash flow is everything, right? Like one thing we learned in the downturn is if it doesn't cash flow, do not buy it. And so many realtors here were selling homes that were upside down $500-$600 a month. I just helped a guy sell a condo. He bought this about a year and a half ago and the market had already dropped. If he would have called me, I'd have been like, no, like this thing is no longer what it was. He bought this condo for like 520 or something, just a crazy number. And he was losing $800 a month on the rent. I said, dude, we need to sell it. And like 13 exact condos like his were up for sale in his neighborhood. He ended up losing, you know, 20, 30 grand to get rid of it because he was making these same mistakes that everybody started making. Mm-hmm. And so what we did is we researched the whole country. We found 93 markets that we researched. We picked three of them. And that's where we started sending all of our investors. And that's what we're doing now.
So cool.
When did you transition from like working for another agency to starting the Rex team?
It's interesting because so many people get into the business now and they all want to join a team, right? I just think that's so stupid. Like all you have to do is hire a coach. It's much cheaper if you're actually making money and selling homes. So my opinion is get in and grind yourself, learn everything. Then if it's not working, maybe join a team. But, I think it handicaps a lot of these agents that get in the business. They get used to, you know, lead flow coming in and they just buy leads off Zillow. And I mean, I have one person that I'm friends with that he spends $300,000 a month on Zillow leads. I'm like, that's nice and all, but like not a way I'd want to do business. I mean, granted he's whatever, like one of the biggest teams in Utah, but it's just not a way I wanted to do business. So for me, I got in and I just started grinding. I figured it out. Like I said, that first 6 months was pretty tough. That's when I hired a coach. You know, you either join a brokerage that has really good training or you get a coach and then you just learn how to do it. And so for me, I did start kind of on my own pretty early, even though those first 6 months I was at a different brokerage and then I switched to Keller Williams, you know, and I just really bought into the coaching concept. So I was always on my own doing my own thing. Even though I was part of Keller Williams, I never opened my own brokerage. I think it's a horrible idea. They don't make any money. And so I was one of the owners of Keller Williams, and then I, you know, switched over to EXP to grow that. And but I've always been part of one of the bigger brokerages.
So then the question we get here a lot is you were doing your own thing, kind of selling your own real estate, but then you scaled it too pretty quickly and pretty big. How did you go from kind of single sales to scaling? I mean, you said you got an assistant, and then what else did you do to really scale this big?
Yeah, I mean, in real estate, you know, I never wanted to have, I tried in 07 to like, okay, I'm going to just start bringing a bunch of people on my team. And it was really depressing because when the market tanked, they were the ones not making any sales. I was actually still making a little bit of, you know, a couple sales here and there, but I hated coming into the office and being around depressed people. And so to be honest, like, after that, I just said, I'm going to keep this thing. I called it a ninja team. I just always kept it like really high quality agents where the customer didn't feel like they were getting a lesser experience if I turned them over. And so my team, I actually never had more than three sales agents on my team. It was, you know, my brother was with me for a decade, Tyler again, and these guys are just great agents. I can give them any lead. I can give them any person to go work with, and I knew they were going to get it closed, that they were going to make me look good. And so I actually never had that big of a team. The year, my last full year that I sold, we had with just the three of us agents and then a couple assistants, we sold 497 homes. And so for me, it was always about just get very highly competent people. That's what I love about Tyler. I give him a lead, it's done, it's closed. Like he takes care of my clients better than I would. I mean, he's incredible. And so I can, with confidence, you know, work with people like that. And that was my whole philosophy. If I could do it again, I can't say I'd do it the same. I might get like, you know, 50 or 100 agents on my team and just play the numbers game. But I never liked managing people, man. I was good at selling homes. I was personally selling 100 homes or more almost every year. And so, like, for me, I just needed people to take the other clients that I couldn't handle and stuff like that. So that's how I did it.
That's cool.
How? What advice do you have for people that are looking to hire and they need people like your Tyler or your brother? How do you Yeah, how do you help them find them, but also how do you help them keep them?
Yeah, you know, it's I think finding them, you just look for talented people. Like, and then, you know, one thing that I think that a mistake that I made was I would not hold new agents accountable. So they'd come on my team.
Interesting.
And I didn't hold them accountable. And if I could do it over again, I would have. There would have been, this is what you have to do every day. And if you don't do it, you're out, you know? That would have attracted more of the A players as well, that I could have grown the group bigger. But I think that the key is just make it, I mean, we had a fun work environment. We were winning. We were selling a lot of homes. I remember one time a couple of years ago, it was kind of funny, there was this ski in, ski out condo complex in Park City that they had this killer deal for ski in, ski out condos. So I put a couple of things on my Instagram that I was going to buy one. And that day I had 300 leads come in and I sold over 30 of these condos one day. Well, I had a new assistant that day. It was her first day. And so her first day was literally like by far the best day I've ever had. And she just thought that was normal. That was like Tuesday, you know? And so she came in but my point is like when you're around successful people, like every day you came in our office, me or Tyler or Dale, one of us had sold a house. And so like you're around people that are winning, people are having success. And then one thing I did with my real estate team too is, you know, they really got to run their own thing. I don't think, you know, Chris and Dale both, when they were the first two on my team there, they never missed a single one of their kids' games. They never had to work Saturdays or Sundays. Like, we just had it down to a point where I said, look, I have a high expectation. If I need something done, this is the way we need it done. And then from there, manage yourself. And, you know, and it worked really well. Chris has been my right-hand guy for 15 years. And I just, I mean, that dude, I joke, but like he cares about me more than I care about myself. You know, like he would always just do whatever was needed, but I never abused it either. I don't think he ever worked a Sunday his whole life. And I don't think he's ever, I mean, very few Saturdays, you know, he'd write a few contracts from his house or something. But by giving them that autonomy, you know, and I found people, it's funny, like Chris, his skill set's the exact opposite of mine. And so we partnered really well on everything. And so I think it's just looking for talented people and then, you know, structuring it in a way that works for everybody.
Systems and processes, it sounds like.
Yeah, and I wasn't like, we could have been better on our systems, to be honest. But our systems were 100% dialed in for the client. It was the internal systems that maybe, you know, tracking our numbers and doing some of those things that we could have done better. But yeah, I mean, it's always a constant, like you're always improving it, right? You're always working on it. And overall, I set up a business. It's funny because a lot of agents had these businesses that maybe they sold more than us, but it wasn't more fun. I can promise you that. I built my entire business going on vacations and throwing events. Like literally, I would go on these giant trips. I'd take 70 people to Lake Powell or like just do these crazy, you know, I'd just do all these fun things for the community. I was going out. It's funny because now that I don't do it, I realize how much I was doing it for work. But I would go out to some kind of event, party, networking thing, probably 5 or 6 nights a week. I was just always
that
out.
That was your gig.
Yeah, I mean, everyone in town knew who I was, and I was a realtor. You know what I mean? It was like I just was everywhere. And now, I don't do it now. Now I'm like, oh, God, I just want to sit home and, you know, chill a little bit and be by myself sometimes. But yeah, I did that for 15 years straight.
So out of all the places or the parties you've thrown, the places you've attended or traveled to, right? What's the one place that maybe sticks out in your mind the most or you have the best memories of? Or what is that place?
You know, it's interesting because I've been to 106 countries now. I'll be 110 by the end of the month.
Cool.
And it does not matter where you are. It is who you're with. Like, I will say that. Like, it truly changes everything. Like, we've, you know, I will say this group I'm taking to Africa, the reason we're going there, it's Victoria Falls.
What part is it?
It's on the border of Zimbabwe, Zambia, and Botswana.
Very cool.
In South Africa. Yeah. And it's my favorite place in the world. Like, if you got 2 weeks to live, like, you know you're going to die, and you're like, I need to go visit one place, I would say go here. It's just different than anywhere else in the world. I mean, you'll be, you know, I remember we were on this resort walking back to our room, and it's like these two giant statues of giraffes, like right off the path, like me to you. I'm like, damn, these look really real. And all of a sudden, one of the giraffes just like moves its neck. I'm like, oh, shit, it's real. Okay. And then, like, we got stuck in traffic because elephants were crossing the road. And, you know, we went and slept out in the bush. And we woke up and there was a pack of lions 300 yards away. You know,
That's cool. Just
crazy stuff, man. It's like nothing you've ever seen before. And so, yeah, that's my favorite, like, one place if you have to pick one.
I love to hear that because I'm taking my wife and two kids to Zambia in June.
Oh, sweet. Are you going to Victoria Falls?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to go do a Mothers Without Borders expedition and help out with an orphanage over there.
Amazing. So you really have to do the whitewater rafting.
Okay.
There's 19 level 4 or 5 rapids in like a 3-hour period. But all the rocks are like 75 feet deep. So it's not dangerous from the rocks, but you get the biggest waves ever. And so, like, I got flipped out twice. Like, thought I was going to die. I got stuck under the raft and I had to like swim out. Don't get scared. It's worth it. It's literally the single funnest adventure I've ever been on. And I don't even like whitewater rafting, but I do after that. I was just like, oh my gosh. Like, it was so fun.
That's cool. But you were saying that, you know, even though the places are amazing, it's the people you're with. Really?
Yeah. I mean, I've been at the nicest resort in the entire country of Thailand on our own island, you know, bungalow overlooking the most beautiful sight your eyes have ever seen, but I was with somebody I didn't really want to be with. And I was like, nah, I didn't even want to be there. You know what I mean? And then I've been in some of the most polluted, dirt-roaded, gross places on earth, but you're with people you love and you're like, this might be the best day of my life. And so I really like try to emphasize, you know, it's not even the journey, it's who you're on the journey with.
That's so cool.
Yeah, that's incredible. I think there's so much truth to that. I mean, even in entrepreneurship, right? Like, those hard days that you have, and you talked about it with your real estate team, like, I'm sure there were hard days, but you look back at it and you had this team that you had built, and those relationships is what takes you through those hard days, regardless of what it is. So I'm really interested in the We Are the They. Can you talk more about how people get involved? You know, how do they be part of this?
Yeah. And maybe what the results are too, the results you've seen.
Yeah. I mean, the thing I'm most proud of is, you know, these mastermind groups, when you sign up for mine, so there's two parts of it. There's a tribe, which is more like, so what happened is my leadership group, my original group of 50, I launched 2.5 years ago. And the truth is I had no idea if people would sign up. I hope they would, but I'd never sold anything like this, you know? And, I've paid over $100,000 to be part of a mastermind. So this wasn't the most expensive mastermind, but it wasn't cheap either. You know, it's for my leadership group, it's $1,500 a month. So it's like, I was hoping I could get 50 dudes. I wanted to keep it to 50 because I'd been part of these other masterminds. And when they go too big, you don't connect the same. But you want to get 50 guys that are bought in, that are committed. And so I gave myself a month from when I launched before I ever started it, because I wanted to, if I needed to grind the phones and try to sell this thing, I needed to have time to sell it out. I had 147 applications in 8 hours when I launched it. I was like, oh my gosh.
Just by putting it out on social media?
Just put it on Instagram. I didn't even have time to have my friends send it out or like do anything else, email campaigns. We had all this marketing ready and I had to shut it off. We were overbooked. And so I picked my 50, but I had, you know, these 97 guys that I just had to turn away. And I was like, damn, like I needed something else for them, right? And I realized there's this huge need. And so my plan was to open a new leadership group every 6 months. In the meanwhile, I was like, well, what do I do with the other guys? And I did notice some of the guys I called, you know, they couldn't afford it, but they wanted to be a part of something. So I opened up this tribe. And so the tribe, it's always open. You just apply to be a member. That one's 400 a month. You know, and then my leadership group. Like I said, that's the one where we get together every 3 months and we do these 3-day events. It's all included. So it's, you know, there's a lot of value creation there. But the thing I was most proud of at the end of the year, they get a chance to either renew for the final 18 months or they drop out. And we've had, over a 96% retention rate in the first 3 groups. And so like, it's just, people aren't dropping out. They
created the value.
It. Yeah. And so that's the thing I'm most proud of. But as far as getting involved, so if people, especially if you're here local in Utah, I built a headquarters. So twice a week now. We're doing events there at the headquarters. Last week we had a March Madness party. We do breath work. We do meditation nights, yoga. We had a poker night last week. So we're just doing a lot of cool things. We have a workout place there. You can come work out anytime. We have like a just a place to come hang out. You can run business meetings out of there. One guy's doing his B&I meetings there now. And so just a place that's kind of like a community center. That's all included with the membership. And so, but my leadership group, I open the next one May 1st. We already have about 30 people on the waiting list, and we haven't even mentioned it yet or anything. But those groups, that'll be group number 5. And yeah, and so if people are interested, they basically, I would recommend people, if you really want to see what we're doing, go to my Instagram. You can, again, check out that video I made, wattvid.com. It really does a great job of capturing what this thing is and why it's so different than anything else out there. And then, I sent it to Ed Milette, who's my one-on-one coach, and he texted me back just last week, and he said, bro, he's like, that's the best piece of material I've ever seen put together. He's like, what you're doing is special, man. He's like, the world needs to see this. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That's
cool.
As
good of an endorsement
from Ed Milette. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know. If people are interested, these are a lot of very successful men. They're already crushing life. That's the coolest thing about it is this isn't like for broken, people will be like, dude, my uncle needs this. He's beating his kids. I'm like, yeah, it's not really what we're going for here. I was like, it's more like this is like men that are already thriving, a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of business owners, a lot of guys that just want to go to the next level. That's what, I've always been obsessed with becoming a better version of myself. So I went to every seminar, every conference, read hundreds of books, had all the coaches, I've literally spent millions of dollars on all this. And I just took the best of everything that I learned and I put it into my program. And I think that's why it's working so well is, it's you get to sift through a lot of the things that maybe don't work as well and get right to the stuff that does. And so that's what it is more than anything. It's a place for guys to connect to, my whole philosophy is you can't change anybody, but what you can do is you can create an environment that's safe enough for them to want to change themselves. And they're willing to share things they've never shared before. They're willing to, I grew up with a father that 95% of the time was amazing and then 5% could be pretty explosive. And unfortunately, he never had an outlet. He never talked to anyone about, some of these things that he needed to share and talk about. And because of that, unfortunately, he made a lot of mistakes. And I just said, what if I could create something like what my dad needed, like a group where men can truly support each other and be there for each other. And that's what this is. And so I think that's the thing I'm most proud of, man. And it's funny, we have a guy in the first group. I also wanted a place that no one cares how much money you have. It's not, if somebody came in bragging about their money or job, or you just look weird. Like, it's just not that. Nobody cares what religion you are. In Utah, it's always been you're either in or out of, the Mormon church. And I wanted to create a place where no one cares. It was funny, our last event, it was the last event with group one. So they've been together, this is their 10th event together. And one of the guys, this guy Jose, in the back, he said something about church. And it was like, wait, Jose, are you a member of the church of the Mormon church? And he's like, yeah. I was like, the heck? Like, he just didn't seem like it. And I go, raise your hand if you knew Jose was Mormon. And not one person knew he was Mormon. And I just love that. It was like my favorite thing, because it's like, no one cares. It's just not part of it. It's, we don't care where you've been. We've had guys talk about, having really dark past, guys that have, made a lot of mistakes, but there's never been this safe outlet for them. And so in this space, instead of having judgment, we say, okay, we don't care where you've been, what direction are you pointed now, and let's help you, And so anyway, that's just, I love it.
You can see your passion.
Single day I get to see these miracles happening and these guys just transforming their lives. And, it's not even about the guys, but then what does that do for their kids or their wives or their families and future and stuff? And, so I had a guy that I just posted on my Instagram yesterday. A couple of the guys were having a conversation at our last event, and one of the dudes said, I need to talk to my dad. It's been a few years. We're completely separated. And the other dude is sitting in the circle is like, I'll do it if you do it. I haven't talked to my dad. I wasn't ever planning on talking to him again. He's like, all right. And so he called him last week. He goes, dude, when should we do this? And he's like, oh, I already talked to my dad, bro. Like, it's your turn. And so he went and talked to his dad, and he texted him, and he wrote this beautiful text how he spent, 2.5 hours just crying with his dad, and his dad actually owned a lot of the mistakes he made and some abuse, not sexual, but, physical and things. And he they basically started this path of repairing their relationship. And, you know, I got that message. I was just like, geez, man, like, you know, that's what it's all about.
Positive peer pressure to make your life better, right?
Yeah. And yeah. And it's funny because it doesn't always go how you want it to sometimes, you know, but when you're doing the work, you're okay with the result. Like I've had people I've tried to correct things with and they just don't want to. But I'm at peace with it now because I know I've tried and I'll continue to, and I just send them love. And that's what I teach my guys. Like your life doesn't have to be perfect. You know, it's one thing I've learned with this program is it's not like life gets easier. You just keep getting hit. You're just going to, because that's where the growth comes in. That's what makes us have a fulfilling life. But what you do is you have the support and you have the tools to deal with it and handle it. And so I think for me, you know, that's what I've learned is it's like, it's not like you quit having problems, but I haven't had a bad day in years because I just look at it all as like, oh, all right, here's a learning opportunity, growth. You know? Yeah. And it's like, well, this will be a lesson I can teach other people. And it doesn't mean I like it, but it's not a bad experience, you know?
This is so cool, Jimmy. Last topic I want to touch on really quick. I mean, you are the host of a really successful podcast, The Jimmy Rex Show, and many, many, many downloads each week and everything. What, for those entrepreneurs or those founders that are thinking in their mind, I should start a podcast, what would you tell them? What things have you learned? What things should they avoid? Give us a little bit of your insights on that.
Well, and I'll give credit to you guys. You're almost to 100 episodes. So the average podcast makes it about 3 episodes. less than 1% get to 20 episodes, mm-hmm. and less than 1 in 1,000 get to 60 episodes, to give you an idea. The reason why is because people do podcasts for the wrong reason. They get in thinking they're going to make them famous or get all these likes or, you know, like they're going to get all these amazing experiences. And the truth is that's just not going to happen, not very fast. And so I tell people, I'm 560 episodes in now. Started almost 8 years ago. And I just tell everybody, look, do it in a way that you love to do it. Because if you love doing it, you'll keep doing it. But if you have any other motive, then it's going to be a grind. And so my first advice is do it in a way that you love to do it. And if you don't, then don't do it. But like, for me, it's the ultimate networking tool. I mean, I'm flying to Austin next week to go sit down with Chris Williamson to be on his podcast, Modern Wisdom. Which is, I think it's like the 3rd or 4th biggest podcast in the country right now. And, you know, he came on mine and we just connected. I would have never met that guy. Now we're friends. Like we're, you know, we text all the time. I'm going to Arizona next week to sit down with Pace Morby and a couple other, you know, Josh Snow, who, you know, has his company's worth, you know, multiple 9 figures. And these guys have become friends of mine because you get the FaceTime with them where you have an excuse to sit down and have a conversation. You know, it's funny, about a month ago, a buddy of mine is like, hey, he's like, I'm friends with Roger Clemens. Do you want to do a podcast with him? I'm like, are you kidding me right now? And so,
yes, please.
Yeah, he was at a convention with him in Vegas. And so I flew to Vegas in the morning. Oh, I was sick as a dog too. I wouldn't have got out of bed that day if I wasn't doing this podcast, but I had this podcast with Roger. I took every medicine you can imagine, just enough to get me to sit there with not sounding like an idiot. But I got an hour and a half with Roger Clemens. And he loved it. You know, I did my research for, you know, 3-4 hours beforehand. So I had really good information. And I mean, I didn't need to research his. These are like core memories of mine as a kid. You know? And so me and him became friends and we've been texting. And I can reach out to almost anyone now and they'll respond because of the size of my podcast, the guests I've had on, you know. And it's really cool. It's just the ultimate networking tool. It's the ultimate reason to reach out. I've started making a list of all the people from my youth that I like were impactful that I just want to talk to and have a podcast with. I'll end up doing a podcast with most of them, you know. And it was funny, the other day I was watching this little thing on YouTube. It's like a documentary and it was about Monica Lewinsky. And I just was like, oh, I'm going to get her on my podcast. That'll be fun. Like, I believe that'll happen pretty easily, you know. And I've been trying to like, I make a list of all these people I want to have on, and I've had half of my top list. I've already had them on. You know, I got to sit down with Johnny Manziel last summer and Jerry West and some of these just incredible human beings, you know, and it's just a really fun thing. And so if you really enjoy it, it becomes the ultimate networking tool. It becomes the ultimate marketing tool. And you can really share a lot of messages that help other people.
That's cool. But you have to be dedicated and put in the work, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have not gone in 8 years, 7.5 years, I've never gone more than a week without putting one out. And I average 2.5 per week.
Wow. That's a commitment. I mean, we do one a week, and it's a commitment.
That's right.
So
yeah, I mean, I'm just my schedule today. I mean, we're doing this when it's 7:45 in the morning. I'm going straight from here. I'm doing a podcast at 9. Then I'm going on his podcast right after. Then I have my coaching call at 11 with Group 4. At 12:30, I have another podcast, somebody on mine. At 2 o'clock, I have another coaching call with one of my groups. And then at 3:15, I'm on another podcast. But I love it. You know, it'll be a fun day. And
all so, on the like, day of Jimmy Rex.
Well, I got my book coming out April 2nd. That's
tell
next
us about
week.
That.
Yeah, so I'm doing a lot more podcasts right now that I'm going on. I usually only go on like one a week. But right now I'm really pushing because I'm trying to, you know, just push the book. Yeah, it's called B1. It comes from the Marcus Aurelius quote, "Waste no more time arguing what a good man should be, B1. The subtitle is "How to Be a Healthy Man in Toxic Times." That kind of sums it up. And so I really take people through a lot of the experiences we do with my program, and I put it into a book. And it was actually Ed, when he was coaching me last year, Milet, and he was like, "Dude, you need to get this to the masses. We need to do a book and really share this." And so he was kind enough to write the foreword for my book. And we've already sold a couple thousand copies, and my hope is that, you know, we'll get on the bestseller list, and it'll really make a difference for a lot of people.
Where can they find it? Where can the audience find it?
Buy it on Amazon. So okay. Just type in Jimmy Rex or B1, either one, and it'll pop up, and that's the best place. So if you're listening to this and you want to buy it, yeah, you know, send me a picture of yourself with it, and I'll reach out. I love to connect with people.
Fantastic.
That's amazing. Well, this has been really fun. I mean, you're an author, you're leading really successful coaching groups. Real estate agent.
It's podcaster.
Amazing. Podcaster. Yeah, all of it. This has been fun. Thank you.
No, I appreciate you guys. Thanks for what you're doing. And I love your guys' energy, man. You're just, you can tell you love what you're doing and you're happy to be alive. And I'll spend all day with anybody that, you know, shows up that way every single day. So thank you guys.
Where do they reach out to you?
On just on Instagram's Instagram? The best. Yeah, Mr. Jimmy Rex. Don't reach out on LinkedIn. You will never get back from me. It's the one place I just don't check. I'll check it like once every 6 weeks. I'm like, oh, I should go on there. Actually, though, I have a new... we're trying to post every day now, so I'm going to be doing better at it. But anyway, Mr. Jimmy Rex on Instagram. That's I respond to all my DMs. It's me doing it. And yeah, I love to connect with people. So if I can ever help anybody listening to this in any way, reach out.
Thanks, Jimmy Rex. Appreciate right. having you on the show.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
The Midnight Founders Podcast is hosted by Rev Road and CB Vault. CB Vault is the entrepreneurship arm of Central Bank.
And Rev Road is a venture services sweat equity partner where we help your company grow faster. If you like what you heard, please like and subscribe to the podcast and share it with all of your contacts. Thanks for listening.